This hen told the rooster, she said, I want to do something different. I think I'll lay a egg on the top of the hen house. He said, well, he said, if you have to do it, do it. And so she laid a big egg on the hen house. Next day, the hen said to the rooster, I want to do something different. She said, I think I'll lay an egg on the farmer's back porch. And he said, well, if you have to do it, do it. And so she went ahead and did it, laid an egg on the farmer's back porch. Next day, she said, I want to do something different and unique. She said, I think I'll go out and lay an egg right in the middle of the freeway. And the rooster said, if you have to do it, do it. But he said, let me give you some advice. My advice would be, lay it on the line and get out quick. And the pizza's on its way and time's running out, so I'm going to lay it on the line and get out quick here today. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one, I prayed all week, Lord, what do you want me to preach on Sunday? Give me something you want me to preach on. And then just, I believe it was Friday. Lord, I was in my devotions, I believe, in this passage. The Lord just laid this story, the rich young ruler, on my heart. And this rich young ruler came and behold, one, the Bible says, and one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless his word to our hearts. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity of coming back to God's house today. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that's been taught in our Sunday school. Thank you for this great host of friends that's congregated in God's house today. I pray you'd bless throughout these grounds, Lord, as in our preschool churches and in our junior church and primary church, and then, Lord, here in the main auditorium, would you bless today and have your way, speak to hearts by thy Spirit. Lord, we believe this is a divine appointment for some man or woman, boy or girl. They're here, Lord, without Christ, and Lord, you're going to speak to them through thy word, and may they hear the call of God, and may they respond and come to Jesus before they leave here and leave these doors a child of God on their way to heaven. Now, Lord, I pray that every heart would be attentive, Lord, and I pray you'd rebuke hindering spirits and rebuke the devil, and may the word of God have free course. Spirit of God, anoint me, give me liberty, and bless these that hear. Give them a receptive ears and receptive hearts to the word of God today, and may Jesus be glorified. Lord, if it be your will, I pray that today that in this building somebody be saved and have their name written down in heaven as one of the redeemed for the lead here. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we'll give you the glory for everything that's accomplished. And you deserve it, Lord. And may, Lord, help us all to give the Lord the glory for what you're doing and what you're going to do here today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Now, this rich young ruler was one of the finest specimens of man morally that we can find in the Word of God. He would be accepted in all of our churches, such a man of some moral, and be accepted in civic clubs, and he would be, all of us would welcome him as a good neighbor. And he is he is one of the finest men we see coming on the horizon in the Word of God. And Jesus told him to keep, well, he listed 6 commandments Jesus told him to keep. And he said, well, Lord, I've kept all these. They had to do with man's relationship with man. And Jesus didn't rebuke him or disagree with him when he said, I've kept all these. Now, he possibly could possibly have kept all of these 6 commandments Jesus told him to keep. And he had many admirable qualities. He was not a murderer. He was not an adulterer. He was not a thief. He was not a liar. He honored his parents. A lost art in this 20th century, honoring and obeying your parents. And then Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He had said, I've kept that. He was a good neighbor. And there were many good things we could say about this rich young ruler. He was wealthy. That sort of strikes a good note. That's an admirable quality. A lot of people would think so. And it is good to be able to pay your bills. This man was wealthy. And he was morally straight. He was probably a very religious man, but he was one of the saddest cases that we find in the Word of God, because he turned and walked away from Jesus. And folks, as far as we can tell from the Word of God, this young man missed heaven. And we need to understand that a person does not go to heaven because he's good, and neither does a person go to hell because he's bad. No, what you do with Jesus Christ determines your eternal destiny. Now, I believe we ought to live good lives, but you can never live good enough to get to heaven in your own goodness. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath. When you believe on Jesus, you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, it didn't say he that's wicked or immoral or a drunkard or a liar or a thief. He that believeth not, the Bible says, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to call your attention to 4 things concerning this rich young ruler for your consideration this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that he came to the right person. He came to Jesus and said, good master. He gave the title of good master to Jesus. Now the Jews gave this title to their teachers. They called him master, good master. Notice Jesus in verse 17 answered his question with a question. He said, why callest thou me good? He said, there is none good, that is, but one, and that is God. What Jesus said here used to bother me. I didn't quite understand it. He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, but one, and that is God. I believe I sort of understand what Jesus had in mind when he said that now. I believe that he saw down into the heart and life, and Jesus was the omniscient God come in the flesh, and he could see everything, and he knew everything. And he knew that this rich young man didn't come to him and didn't understand that he was God in the flesh. He came to him just as a good teacher. And what Jesus was saying here is, if I am good, I am God. And if I am not good, I am not God. So he wanted to show this young man, reveal to him, that he was God come in the flesh. The average person does not believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh. The average person doesn't believe that he is the God-man. They want to call Jesus a good man. They want to call him a great teacher, a great prophet, and other great titles. But most people refuse to accept Jesus as God's only begotten Son, the Savior of the world. On one occasion, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, they took up stones to stone him because he made himself equal with God. Back in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, when Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan, when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lit on Jesus, and a voice from heaven,
God in heaven, seated on the throne of the universe, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On another occasion, Jesus said, before Abraham was, and Abraham had been dead many years, and Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, Jesus was in existence before time was. He was in existence during time, and he will be in existence when time shall be no more. He is the eternal Son of God. And Jesus wanted this young man to see that he was more than a teacher, more than a good man. And by the way, friend, before you can ever be saved, you're going to have to see that Jesus was more than a good man who died for a great cause, a martyr for a great cause. You're going to have to see before you can get saved that Jesus was very God who took upon himself a robe of flesh that he might die on a cross to pay man's sin debt, that all who just trust in him and look to him may be saved from eternal damnation. So this young man came to the right person. And also he asked the right question. In verse 17, he said, in verse 16, he said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He asked the question on how he could have eternal life. He realized that man was on this earth only a few years, and that he would have to go out into eternity and face a holy God. And that's a good question. How may I obtain eternal life? That is a good question. Listen, my dear friend, when you were born, you became a living soul. And you will never die. There was a time when you were not. Now get this. There was a time when you were not. But there will never be another time when you will not be in existence. There, when you were born, God put a soul down in your very bosom, an immortal, everlasting soul that'll never die. Listen, one day this body, this physical body, will die, but that there's an eternal part of you that'll never die. You have an immortal soul down in your bosom that will outlive the stars. One day the earth and the heavens will vanish away. But my friend, that eternal part of you called the soul of man will never die. One day, if the Lord tarries, this physical body will die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But listen, my friend, before the word gets to your husband or your wife or your mother or your father, or before the word of your decease gets to your family, your eternal soul will be called out to meet a holy God. You'll never die. Death is not cessation of life. It is just departure. Your soul departs from this body. The body will go to the grave, but your soul will live on. That is why Jesus said in Mark 8:36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" That soul of yours, my friend, will live on and on and on and on while eternity rolls. Your soul is going to live on. That's why Amos of old, the great prophet of God, cried out, "Prepare to meet thy God." Have you made preparations this morning to meet God? Then another thing I want you to notice about this rich young man. He received the right answer. In verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now the word perfect there means mature or whole. And over in Mark's gospel, he gives some additional words to this story.
when he added here the words, one thing thou lackest. Let me say this, God's word does not contradict each other. Mark and Matthew do not contradict. There are no errors in this Bible. It's God's word from cover to cover. It's the eternal word of God. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that that Bible's inspired. Well, my friend, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's still inspired. It's God's word, and if it's God's word, it's perfect. The scriptures cannot be broken. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that word inspiration means? And there's no contradictions in the word of God. And Jesus now made it very clear what he had to do to have eternal life. There was only one thing he could do to have eternal life. Jesus said, first of all, he knew his situation. He said, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And he said, now, I'm going to replace your earthly treasures that you're going to give up. He said, I'm going to replace them with eternal treasure. So sell everything you have. And then Jesus said, then come and follow me. How does a person get saved? How do we get eternal life? Oh, listen, I want the Holy Spirit to help me to get this through to you this morning. There is only one way a person can get saved and have eternal life, and it's all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. It's in trusting Jesus. It's in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in surrendering to him. It's putting our faith in him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. My friend, it's not church membership. Everybody wants to join something. You know, everybody wants to join up to get saved. Join a church. Join the Baptist church, or join the Methodist church, or join the Presbyterian church, or join the Roman Catholics. But listen, you can join this church. Or you can go join the Methodist church or the Christian church or the Catholic church and still die and be lost. Is your name written there? Is your name written down in heaven this morning? When you're born again, your name is written down on the Lamb's Book of Life. Friend, let me ask you today, is your name written down in heaven? Then also, salvation is not in baptism. As I've said many times, you can be baptized in every creek and pond and lake in East Tennessee till every tadpole knows your social security number and still die and be lost and go to hell. What, as we sang a while ago, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If, listen, I hope I can get through this morning if you're here at Christ. What you need. If you'll just come to Jesus and receive him, my friend, he'll save you and wash you from your sins in his own blood. And also, it's not doing good. Eternal life and salvation does not come by doing good. Everybody, almost everywhere you go, when you ask people, are you saved? Well, I'm doing the best I can. The best you can do will never get you to heaven. The best you can do is not good enough. And by the way, all of your good works can't get you to heaven. Because in the sight of God, the Bible says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, this rich young ruler thought he could get to heaven by his good deeds. He said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He wanted to be saved by his own goodness. But no one can be saved by their own good works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All that I need is in Jesus. He satisfies. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All things in Jesus I find. My friend, I'm doing my best this morning to get you to see that you've got to come to Jesus. If you'll just come to Jesus and receive him, he'll save you and give you something worth living for. Then I want you to notice one other thing about this rich young ruler. He made the wrong choice. Look at verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus told him, here's how you can get eternal life. He said, sell everything you have and go out and give it to the poor. And come follow me if you want eternal life. Now that seems a pretty steep demand, doesn't it? Now why did Jesus make such a demand? Well, God says in his word, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Jesus saw that that young man was making his money and his possessions his God. Jesus saw that there was one thing standing in between him and salvation. Let me ask you this morning, this question. What is standing between you and salvation? If you're not saved this morning, why? Standing between you and heaven this morning. Let me ask you this. Is what standing between you and salvation, is it worth dying and going to hell over? Oh, listen. There's one thing you lack this morning. You may be a good person. You may be a good neighbor. But you need to get saved and come to Christ and get born again. Now, this proposition stunned this young man. Christ said, sell all you have. And give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Satan whispered in his ear and said, don't be a fool. He said, that's too big a price to pay. The price is too great. And that rich young ruler turned and walked away from Jesus, and walked away from heaven, and walked away from eternal life. And probably his shoulders were drooping. And his head was down as he walks away from Jesus on his way to hell. He turned and walked away from Jesus. And as far as we know, that young man never got saved. Now, we stand here 2,000 years removed from this story here in Matthew, the 19th chapter. If we could talk to this young man, by the way, as I've already said, this young man is still alive today. His soul is still alive. He died almost 2,000 years ago, his physical body, but his soul lives on. And if we could talk to this young man this morning, among the throngs in the charred regions of the damned, if he died without Jesus Christ, that's where he went. He died and went to hell. If he died without Christ. I believe if we could talk, if we could somehow get a phone and get a hookup down in the region of the band this morning and talk to this young man, I believe he would say, what a fool I was to walk away from Jesus and walk away from eternal life. All I can say is when I was, a 13-year-old boy, many years ago, I'm glad when I had my first real contact with Jesus Christ. Is that wrong? Okay, we've got some views here now. I've been preaching all here. This thing is still on, I hope. We get together here before this service gets over. But listen, I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy when I heard Christ presented in all of his purity and clarity of what it means to be saved. I'm glad the first time that I came forward in a service such as this. And I'm glad I didn't turn away like that young man and say no to Christ and
and walk out the door of that church house that night in that revival down in East Tennessee, Southeast Tennessee. I'm glad that I came forward and knelt to the mourner's bench as a young man. And an old deacon put his arm around me and said, Gene, will you trust Christ? And I'm glad that I trusted Christ as my Savior that night. I went home and my mama woke my daddy up and said, Mart, Gene got saved tonight. And I went back in the back room, laid down on the bed and looked out at the moon. And I knew something. I didn't fully understand it, Brother Ray, but I knew something happened that night to me. And I looked out at that beautiful moon and I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus would come back tonight? I'm glad the first time that I really heard a clear presentation of the gospel, I'm glad instead of walking, turning my back on Jesus and walking away, I'm glad I walked down an aisle and got saved that night. Oh, listen, and while eternity rolls, I'll be glad that I didn't say no to Jesus Christ. This young man came to the right person. He came to Jesus. And oh, if you'll come to Jesus this morning, he'll save you. He'll save you. He asked the right question. What shall I do that I may have eternal life? The greatest question you can ask this morning is, how may I have eternal life? How may I get saved? He received the right answer. Jesus just told him, just come on to me and follow me and receive me. But this young man made the wrong choice. He turned and walked away from Jesus. Don't make the wrong choice this morning. Come down this aisle and come to Christ before you leave here. And don't walk out that door without Christ today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one leaving, please, every head bowed, unless it's an absolute essential. Unless it's an absolute essential. No one leaving, please, unless it's absolutely. Don't disturb others by getting up and leaving, unless it's because it's the hour is early. The hour is early. Stay right where you are. How many this morning can say, Preacher, lastly, I'm glad that there was a time back in my life somewhere when I saw that Jesus was the Savior. And I realized that I was lost and needed a Savior. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I received Him and I'm saved. And if I were to die right now, I have the assurance I'd go to heaven because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you can say that you are saved this morning and you're on your way to heaven, if you can say that, raise your hand as a testimony. Just raise it and put it back down. Yes. Great sea of hands went up. And I rejoice that you are saved, my dear friend. But there are some here today. You couldn't say that. And that's the whole purpose of this meeting, is to try to get you to Christ. I'm not interested in making a Baptist out of you. You can become a Baptist and die and go to hell. I want you to get you to Jesus today. I want you to get you to Christ. I want you to come to know Him personally. I want you to receive Him as your very own. No, listen, you may be attend another church. You may be from out of this area. Listen, we're not interested in getting you to this church as a member. We're interested this morning in getting you to Christ. Oh, my friend, don't leave here without Jesus Christ today. How many of you couldn't raise your hand a while ago saying you are saved? But you'll say, Preacher, I am interested in eternal life. I am interested in knowing Christ as my personal Savior. And I want you to pray for me today that I will come to know Him. Whom to know aright is life more abundantly and life forevermore. Preacher, I want you to pray for me today. Just slip your hand up all over the house. Let me pray for you. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else with these? Yes, God bless you, young lady. What about it, sir? The Lord's been dealing with you. What about it, ma'am? For many years, the Lord has been wanting you to get saved. Young person, life's ahead of you. You can live life more abundantly with Jesus Christ. Without Him, there's going to be some rocky roads ahead. Rocky days ahead without Jesus. How many others say, Preacher, pray for me? God spoke to my heart. God brought you here for a purpose today. And God's word's been preached. I got on my knees and on my face over on the lake. And I asked God to help me to get this message across to you. It's Jesus this morning, the only thing that'll save you. I'm not saying get baptized, join this church. I'm saying come to Christ. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me today. Anyone else? Maybe, yes, God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Now, maybe you are saved. And you say, preacher, I am a Christian, but I haven't been living for Christ. I'm out of church and not in the will of God, and I'm a defeated Christian. And God's spoken to my heart today. Pray for me. Are there those Christians like that? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Are there others? Amen. And yes, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Anyone else? Christians, pray. There's at least eight or ten hands went up. We want to see God do something for people. Oh, I just don't want to get people to join the church. I want to see God do something for people. Oh, that's what it's all about. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me right before you pray now. Anyone else? Anyone else? Father, we thank you for this good service. Thank you for bringing all these dear people here today. And thank you for Brother, our good singer, that Brother Ray, as he's come to sing and bless our hearts. Thank you for his testimony and his dedicated talents. And Lord, we've tried to preach the Word of God, Lord, in its simplicity, and warn people to come to Jesus. He's the only way to heaven and eternal life. And I pray for every one of these adults and these boys and girls that raised their hand, they're not saved. Lord, may we see them come down this aisle to Jesus, and Lord, help them not to turn away like the rich young ruler and walk out these doors, Lord, without Christ. Lord, don't let people go to hell out of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this morning, I pray. And Lord, bless these that raise their hands saying they are saved, but they need to rededicate their life. And may they come and rededicate themselves. And maybe there's people here who need to join the church. May we see a great march down this aisle to Jesus and to heaven. Now, Holy Spirit of God, seal a word. Draw people. Do your office work and draw people to Christ before they leave this service. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I can't save you. No deacon, no teacher at this church can save you. This church can't save you. But if you'll just come down this aisle, there's a God in heaven and the Savior seated at the right hand. If you'll come down this aisle and ask him to save you, he'll save you before you leave here today. If you want to rededicate your life, you can turn it back over to him today and rededicate your life. Don't turn and walk out that door without Jesus. Come down this aisle. If you'll come and kneel, we have personal workers that will take God's word and show you from God's word how you can go to heaven. Would you like to know how to go to heaven today? Come on, let us show you from God's word. You can leave here knowing from God's word that you're on your way to heaven. Come on, as we stand and sing, come to Jesus. Come on. You who raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand, say, preacher, that's what I need. I need Christ. I need Christ. Come on, meet me right here. Come on, right now, as we sing. Just come right on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. With many a cause.
Isn't this wonderful? See people come down the aisle to Jesus. There's others of you, I'm sure, in this crowd that ought to come to Christ. You know, my friend, you may never have another opportunity like this. There's people standing right here that I've prayed for and some of you have prayed for. People have prayed for you. You've heard the word of God preached. And are you going to be like the rich young ruler and just turn your back on Jesus and walk out of here without Christ? Are you going to do that? Now let me ask you this. If you turn your back, walk out this door without Christ this morning, what awaits you out there? You're without God, without hope, without Christ in this world. And if you go out these doors without Christ and die without Jesus, you'll be lost for all eternity. Won't you come on to Christ and settle it today? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And Brother Gary, sing that next verse. And you can sing along with Brother Gary. Won't you come down this aisle to Jesus? Come on, ma'am. Sir, come on to Christ. Do it today. Do it now. As we sing. Come on, right now.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Do it this morning.
Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because,
sir, won't you come?
I promise.
God's speaking to you, ma'am. Won't you come? To sing one or maybe two verses of what number, Brother Gary? 275. Almost persuaded. Some of you have been almost persuaded to get saved for a long time. Why don't you be altogether persuaded and make this the day that you come to Jesus Christ? Yeah. You know, almost persuaded is to be altogether lost. Did you know that? Almost persuaded. Now to receive Christ. Oh, come on right now. Come on, just slip out. Come, dedicate your life to the Lord. Get saved. Join the church. Come on right now. Obey the Lord. Come on as we sing.
Almost persuaded.
Ask you to do this. I don't encourage people to just go up and down the aisle asking people. But if the Lord ever lays it on your heart, we want to obey the Lord. But if you're standing by somebody and you've been praying for them and you're concerned about their soul, Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Just bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to have Brother Garrett sing that next verse. And we don't want to embarrass anyone, but if you have a loved one standing near you and you're concerned about them while no one's looking, just turn and say, I love you, and I'd like to see you saved. And I'll walk down the aisle with you. Won't you, just right now as we sing this last verse, just get, listen, when they die and you see them in a casket lying there without Jesus, to be too late to cry then. Be too late. You ought to shed some tears now. Be concerned now. Just ask them. And if no one asks you, my friend, Jesus says come. He says come. One of the verses, if no one comes, we'll be through. Come on as we sing.
Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn almost away. Jesus, invite you here. Angels are lingering.
Or are you going to say no and turn away, sir? Just keep playing softly. You may be seated while we continue to counsel with this one person. I believe that the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now because some new souls got in. Hallelujah. And some, like this couple here, rededicated their life, got a smile on your face. Been praying for both of you. But your dad, be glad to hear that.